Hey, welcome to Sanity Break from Twin Lights Coaching. It's Mark and
Liz,
and we're here today. And as you all know, and you've heard the story, that one of the real drivers of Twin Lights Coaching coming into existence is an incredible young man who is truly exceeding all aspects of any normal teenager's existence, Hardy. And Hardy is Liz's son and her husband. And, you know, Andy and Liz have done an incredible job raising him, but there's trials and tribulations that go with that period. So we're going to take a little bit of a twist today. And Liz is here with her husband, Andy, and we're going to take a look back in history at how things were. So Liz, tell us a little bit more initially about Hardy, and then let's go ahead and focus back to when he was a toddler and a young child.
Okay, well, you know, I know people have questions about kids with ADHD, and they often say, do you think it's nature or nurture? And I think Andy would agree with me. Hardy came out kicking. Like, he peed on the nurse as he came out. His legs were always shooting out from under him. He clearly was born with ADHD. So there's no doubt in my mind that it's not something you develop. You are born with ADHD. We used to call him Tigger. I mean, he used to bounce around on the furniture. He wouldn't hit the floor. We didn't know what was wrong with him. Like, he'd be happy, smiley, super smart, but he just had this crazy energy. And I say crazy because my nephew was born before him. Well, two nephews were born before him, and none of them were quite like Hardy. So Hardy looked like the odd man out. And then over time, things got difficult. I mean, he had two younger siblings, and his hyper turned into, I hate to use the word violent behavior, because it wasn't. His impulsivity, though, could end up hurting his brother or sister, in particular his brother, because he would mess around with him, and then all of a sudden it went from laughter to tears. I have stories. One of my favorite stories now is taking all three kids to the grocery store, and I had Ben in the cart. Ben is almost 2 years younger, and Kate was in the front, and you know, she's a little more than 3 years younger, and Hardy was free. And I walk into the grocery store, and he saw a display of bread in the middle of the aisle, and he just took off, and arms wide out like a bird, and just knocked the whole thing down. And I remember thinking, what do I do? And what I did was, for a second, I walked the other way. I literally pretended like I had no idea who this kid was.
Wow. And Andy, what's your recollection of that time? You probably had both a very similar and a slightly different purview, because you weren't the stay-at-home mom at the time.
That's a very good observation. I mean, as a father to a son, you know, I had always thought in those early years about, am I doing a proper job as a father? And you want to be respected, but you don't want to, at least for me, punish when things are maybe not going your way. Hyperactive behavior became, as Liz said, more and more evident over the years. And for me, there are literal snapshots around our home that remind me quite often of it. I've talked to Liz a lot of times about a picture she has in a locket. And the picture is, and I remember it literally like it was yesterday, of Hardy on his changing table when he was, eight, 9 months old.
Yeah.
And it was a perfect snapshot of his face, just staring. And of course, Liz and I had changed Hardy on the changing table many times, but that was a frozen in time moment that is here to this day, in a very small locket-sized photo of Hardy just staring with wonderment and energy from a changing table, and you know, that energy is really inside him to this day. So that was a memory, but a literal snapshot that we still have. And there are a couple others. Liz was talking about his younger brother. We have a picture in our home right now of a moment that was captured with Hardy and his younger brother absolutely displaying the same thing, an energy that, as Liz said, was Tigger, kind of ready to explode at any given moment. So. As a father to a son of his nature, we grew over time, had a lot of conflicts in the family. And I was the first, and still am, the first to admit that I was in denial, if there's no better word, that his behavior, at first I thought, yes, it's natural, but what am I possibly doing wrong to not be able to control him in public situations? And it was a challenge that we had to go through a lot to figure out and to manage.
So, as these events were unfolding, what was your thought process? What was the concern that you had? This was normal behavior, abnormal behavior, and how did the community, the physicians, the resources around help you to come to an understanding and give you help? And what challenges were there in trying to achieve that diagnosis?
Well, I remember when he was seven, I was fortunate enough to have a friend who worked for, and still does, work for a Children's Specialized Hospital in New Jersey. And I said, I called her up and I said, because our sons were really good friends at the time, I said, I wonder if he has something wrong with him where he needs to be above, like, ground level. I don't know what that's called, but I know autistic kids have that, where they sense their space if they're above ground. And I didn't think he was autistic, but something wasn't right. So she was able to get us an appointment within 2 weeks, and he was tested for agility and tactile things and this and that, and he was normal. So I was there, okay, he's normal, but we knew that something just was different and off. And when going back to your question, how he was perceived in school, he was fine. He was able to hold it together in school, and the only thing that we ever heard was, does he have a bladder issue? He asks to go to the bathroom a lot. But other than that, perfect student. And he had friends, so we didn't have that issue. But he was known to be a little bit of a destroyer. You know, he had a younger sister who had delicate toys that were destroyed very quickly. And he just, you know, with a smile on his face, no anger, just smile. It was when he was nine that we called my friend up again. One night, we were sitting downstairs, and all we heard was his younger brother scream in pain. It was a sound that was, I will never forget. And I went running upstairs, and Hardy and Ben must have been wrestling over some kind of toy or something, and Ben got hit with a mag light really hard, and it clearly hurt. And, you know, I separated the kids. I remember coming downstairs and saying to Andy, I think he has ADHD, and we got to do something about this. So I called my friend, and we got him into Children Specialized, and he was diagnosed. And the next steps were therapy, which we did. So the resources were, we were very fortunate. I had a friend working for Children's. Got him diagnosed. Then we were able to find a therapist, no lie, like 2 minutes from our house. Could not have asked for a better situation. Not under our insurance, but found a therapist. But the behaviors didn't really change. We learned a lot. We learned a lot, but his behaviors didn't change.
I can speak in terms of the learning. One moment that was very valuable, and again, this was a very good facility, Children Specialized, where I learned a tremendous amount in the space of an hour, and that was that Liz and I were both asked separately, which I think was really important, to evaluate that, you know, there was a screening sort of test about various behaviors in different sections on a couple pieces of paper. And I remember the particular doctor who we saw made a specific point of having Liz and I do it separately, because for a very valid reason that we each, as different parents, father, mother, I hadn't realized that we would have, in many cases, very different reactions, very different understandings of what he was going through and what we were going through. So that was a very powerful learning experience for me, and I'm thankful that we had resources of that kind of, and they're out there, that kind of place to help. Because that really helped me understand a lot just in the space of that one of the first meetings we had to have him evaluated. So it made me happy to understand that my feelings were validated, and I hadn't been doing anything wrong. it was a good feeling to learn that that this condition has a lot of resources out there, a lot of community and medical and otherwise out to support and help people learn about the whole thing.
That's interesting you say that, because I felt like we learned a lot in that meeting, but I felt the opposite. I didn't feel like there were resources. I felt like we had to do it all on our own, really. And that's kind of where Twin Lights starts, is that I the resources were lacking. I mean, they told us we learned a lot, for sure. But I would say that the resources were, okay, now your son is diagnosed, here's what he's got, and here are your options, medication or therapy, or both.
So we've heard several times that having a child diagnosed with ADHD or other disorders, but ADHD is our focus today, is much like getting on a plane and going to Italy and landing in Slovakia. Your entire focus is that you're going to Italy, you're going to have a great vacation, and there's a great life ahead of you in Slovakia, but it's not Italy.
Yeah.
Hardy was your first child, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
And Hardy, therefore, was brought into this world in a relatively sort of young marriage and young, you know, parents.
Mm-hmm.
And children never come with a instruction manual. So how did this landing in Slovakia instead of in Italy, how did that impact you? How did that change how you both saw things and how you needed to relate to each other? Because you've obviously successfully navigated that over a period of 17, almost 18 years, and that's wonderful. And Hardy's grown incredibly, and obviously each of you. But how did you negotiate that as that young family trying to deal with this and see how things could move forward when, you know, you're still trying to become new parents?
Well, I'll speak for myself first. I think I became a better parent once he was diagnosed. I will admit that I was not the perfect parent before he was, because I honestly didn't know what to do with him. So once I knew that he had ADHD, and once I was told that, well, if you know, the kids who aren't diagnosed could run the risk of ultimately down the line getting involved in drugs and alcohol because they self-medicate because of how they feel, and they end up having, you know, multiple jobs over their lifetime. They often don't graduate college. Okay, I heard that and I thought, okay, that's definitely not going to be what's going to happen to my child. So I managed it by educating myself. I read and read and read and read and read. And I also allowed, again, not saying I was ever the perfect parent, still am not, but it definitely changed my approach to him. I had a lot more patience. And I think that actually helped my relationship with him. And I think it helped our other two children over time learn a little bit more and understand that even though they were getting at times less attention than he was for doing bad things, I think over time they learned, and I'd be interested to talk to them someday on this podcast, what it's like to have a sibling with ADHD. And I think it's important to understand that for everybody in the house, it takes a ton of patience and understanding. I don't know what you would say.
Well, I mean, you mentioned we were lucky enough to find a very good family therapist, who, I mean, in hindsight, now that I'm learning a bit more about how coaching works, there was absolutely an element of coaching in what our particular family therapist had for all five members of our family, which was very valuable, but good learning experience for me. By the way, just to kind of come back to what you said about what I was mentioning a few minutes ago about the first medical evaluation visit we had, when I said I felt comfort in the resources there, I had at that point even no idea that an evaluation like the one we were looking at, this paper existed, and yeah. That's what I meant in terms of learning and having resources out there. I didn't even have any idea that it had already been so well thought out in terms of an evaluation process, that I was very happy to see that, just, by the way, as an aside. Yeah, the
So we're learning the process. And,
yeah, we learned a lot not being better parents, I think, together. We learned a lot about each other in mm-hmm. that whole process. So at the same time, we also had we had a great number of friends in the area here who each had different challenges with their own children that we talked about with them. And I think we realized with a lot of time and effort put into it that it's a manageable situation if you think about it the right way.
Well, but when you say by time and effort, we didn't get along a lot of the time.
Oh. You're right.
Well, no, I think it's important. I think it's really important to this community Absolutely. To understand that we were not some perfect story. There was a lot of arguing. There was a lot of disconnect. There was a lot of, I think one way, you think another way. Correct me if I'm wrong, I think I got there earlier because I read a lot, and I you know, you were still stuck in the, he's being manipulative and he's trying to control, and I looked at it like, no, this is part of the ADHD, and we fought a lot about that, and it took a while to come together, correct?
I mean, yes, no, I will concur.
Okay.
So it sounds like there were trials and tribulations is what it comes down to. And, you know, one of the important aspects, as we heard, is that there's an element of coaching and the therapy. And I think our audience understands that therapy is typically looking backward.
Yeah.
And coaching is always looking forward. And that can and sometimes should be blended, sometimes within one individual, sometimes by creating a cross-functional team of two or three experts that allow you to move forward. In a lot of ways, having two or three people with independent ideas is always a great way to move things forward. Having someone who supports the parents and someone who supports the child is also important, whether that's an individual, either person or group, like Twin Lights, or it's a different set of people that one works with the parents, one works with the child. But having that twin support, I've always said that we want to create an incredibly fertile field within a family that allows those children to really be able to grow. And quite obviously, when there's disconnect or there's a question, you know, about, okay, how do we do this with this child? We're having difficulties. So you have easy children and you have difficult children. Then you have a difficult child with ADHD. What did you find in trying to bring these pieces together through that therapy of creating that fertile field between Andy and you is, and understanding what needed to be pulled together so that you could have the child that we sit here today, who's got a 4.0 plus average, going to the college of his choice, swimming at an incredible level as a really top-notch athlete. But there were, again, trials, tribulations, there were things you needed to come together with. So what are some of your thoughts, and Andy, your thoughts as well, on how you manipulated the environment, how you came together and created that wonderful soup that allowed Hardy to be the individual that he is?
I love you. You use the term wonderful soup. Well, I would say
communication,
as Andy said, us, yeah. Communication, you have to communicate. You have to, first of all, I think, you know, you have to accept the sucker punch of the diagnosis and realize that everything that you put into a child, you will see back. So it was all about time, effort, and focus. And for Hardy, the biggest successes were keeping him on task. He's very, oddly enough, unlike a lot of ADHD kids, he is very organized. He's an organized kid. He likes things Project. Being structured. And yeah. You know, he's a very structured kid. Well, by default, I am a very neat and organized person. And for any child, it's really good to grow up in a very organized home. For an ADHD child, it's very valuable. And that just, who knew? I mean, I just am that person. I like everything neat and it's almost, you could say, almost to a fault. But I think that actually benefited him. Encouraging friendships, encouraging him to be part of things. For children with ADHD being 2-3 years behind where they are maturity-wise, and we certainly witnessed it, in particular in middle school. I think you would agree. Just encouraging getting out there, having friends over. We always said our doors open. Have friends over. And we also really pushed our family to spend time together. Even if it was once a week and we did family game night, so everybody could hang out and accept each other for who they were, who they are. And it wasn't always perfect, but it really helped a lot. And with children with ADHD too, one of the things they really hate is being told they have to do something in the moment. But if you give a warning and you say, you know, we would say it earlier in the day, hey, tonight's gonna be family night, and then 5 o'clock, hey, in an hour it's family night. It was only 30 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever, playing a game, but making sure that connection was made between the siblings was really, really important. And that's work. I mean, I will not lie to this community. It is work for every sibling. I mean, anybody's raising any kids, it's work. But when you have a kid with ADHD who has more buttons than most, and the siblings know how to push them and what to do, it can make life, you know, really challenging at times. But if you try to find positive and connect them, and we always try to point out everybody's gifts. It's my mother was a teacher, so I learned early on that focus on the good things, talk about the positives. I've always had a glass half full. I'm an optimistic person, so for me that was really, really important. Do you have anything to,
I would say, following what you said, family wise communicating, spending time together. I would even say, we were just speaking the other day about the maturity of our daughter, in most ways. Perfect. But I think a big part of that maturity today can be traced back to this whole process of communicating as a family. I don't want to say we were forced to do it, but I think the path we all took as a family, in a positive way, was in a lot of aspects driven by this whole process of having our firstborn be diagnosed and dealt with in terms of having this condition.
We all had to work around it. Our entire household was working around his orb.
And around and in and upside down and backwards with this. And that, to me, is a positive outcome of the whole process.
Yeah, agree.
Fantastic. So what I'm hearing is that there's incredible hope here, that there are challenges, there are things that need to get pulled together, but there's hope out there. And I think the Houston household is clearly an example of that, not only because of how you came together, but because of clearly the effectiveness of that fertile field that you created that allowed Hardy to move forward and to express his genius. Mm-hmm. And to continue to. Mm-hmm. So, what advice would you have for moms and dads out there who are just being told, hey, this is what is going on? How would you suggest that they start to bring that in as husband and wife, mom and dad, whatever that family structure happens to be?
For me, the acceptance process, I wish I had dealt with sooner, in a way, in understanding and accepting the situation, that, you know, this is a child who I created and love, and I think I could have been better in terms of, in hindsight, accepting earlier in the game than I did. But in the end, to me, communication among the family, and particularly the parents, is paramount to working it all out.
I would agree with that, and I would also say to never give up hope. Obviously, you love your child, and I've talked to more than one person who has gone through something like this, even if it's just not ADHD, other things. But I'm just going to say ADHD, and I don't know if my marriage is going to survive, because my husband and I don't agree. We don't even know what to do with our other kids, because we have to separate this child from the other kids. it is a time in life that isn't easy. But my biggest piece of advice would be A, to keep listening to us, because we will certainly help you guys get through it. But find people that are experiencing this. Create a community for yourself. I mean, we're a part of your community on Sanity Break, and Twin Lights is we're all about this. But in your area, there are organizations such as CHAD, which stands for Children with ADD, Children Adults Affected by ADHD, and go out and connect yourself and realize that you're not alone. The most important thing is to know you're not alone.
100%, and that's precisely why we're here. And no matter how bad the storm is in life, the lighthouses of Twin Lights will be out here and a beacon to help guide you and move you forward. What we like to do is remind everyone that we here at Sanity Break are here to educate and add value to each and every person listening. But we're also here to let you know that we are present. We are here. All you need to do if you have concerns or troubles is pick up that phone, go to your computer, send us an email, and we're happy to have that discussion. Our entire purpose is to change the world by simply supporting the families and the children who have ADHD, allowing that family to have the harmony and the love that they are seeking when they get off the plane in Slovakia and understand that life isn't what they thought they were going to have, but that's okay, and that life changes and it delivers incredible gifts, sometimes when you least expect it. Mm-hmm. And Liz, I think you and I have always agreed that the whole purpose of the foundation is to let these children uncork into their own genius. Your thoughts?
I totally agree. And Andy and I got off in Slovakia, but I can tell you this, wouldn't trade it for the world. A lot of hard work, love and dedication. Never give up on your kids. Obviously, this community would never do that. But realize you're not alone. You're just not alone. There are so many people out there that are experiencing what you're experiencing. And it's wildly, wildly important to know that you have a community. And starts here with Sanity Break. Go to our website. Check out. It's not even about a promotional thing, right? You know, reach out to us if you have questions, things you want us to talk about, things you want us to help you with, things you're stressed out about. Reach out. That's what we want you to do to help us, because we are raising the future of tomorrow, and the future of tomorrow with these ADHD kids is looking pretty darn good. That's all I can say.
You know, I would like to close, if we could, with a brief quote by a gentleman who spent a good bit of his career working just a little bit north of here, and if I remember correctly, Andy, where you were raised, in Princeton. And his name was Albert Einstein. And I think that very few people would question the fact that Einstein was a little different in his own right, but that he was a true genius. And the quote I'd like to leave us with is that everybody is a genius. But if you were to judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it's stupid. Let us always remember that these children are a gift. They have a gift, and that's what we're meant to support. Not only in the family, but in Twin Lights coaching, by supporting the family and supporting those genius children and letting them be everything that they were meant to be in their life. Thanks for joining us for Sanity Break. Have an absolutely spectacular day, and we look forward to being back with you shortly.
Number 6 coming your way.
Bye-bye now.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.